Hello and welcome to another episode on Football Talk Podcast. My name is Ozzy and I'm your host for today's show. The title race is heating up in Match Week 27. Arsenal and Man City fans thought Liverpool dropped the ball against Nottingham Forest, but they managed to rescue the win through Darwin Nunez. Man City slaughtered Manchester United 3-1 over the weekend and Arsenal thrashed Sheffield United 6-0 on Monday night. So let's review these games as well as the rest of the matches during Match Week 27. So the first place to start is no other than Nottingham Forest versus Liverpool, which, as you can see, is 1-0 to Liverpool. A difficult afternoon for Liverpool, and I'll be honest, I thought it was heading towards a draw as Forest's low block was very difficult to break down. But we managed to clinch the winner in the 99th minute from Darwin Nunez, and what a moment it was for Liverpool and the fans. To be honest, I had a feeling we were going to score when Szoboszlai stepped up for the corner. Lovely dinked pass from McAllister and a nicely executed header from Dalwizi. But unfortunately, I think the win was tarnished by nonsense from Forest fans as well as rival fans and the media as well, to be honest, to suggest that Forest were robbed off a point due to a refereeing error. The big talking point was the drop ball that was presented to Liverpool by the ref. Now, Yates, who's the captain of Nottingham Forest, who, by the way, is a dirty player, to say the least, and was making all sorts of reckless tackles during the game, but made some comments after the game as well. But let's be honest, his challenge on Konate around the 96th minute was pretty ridiculous, to be fair. That's the tackle right there. That happened in the 96th minute, which led to that drop ball. Now, that's something Israel Adesanya would be proud of in the UFC cage. So, another thing, let's get the rules straight. If there is some sort of head injury on the pitch, the ref immediately stops play, regardless of where the ball is. So, even if Hudson-Odoi is on the verge of making an attack, the game has to stop. The ref awards a drop ball to Liverpool. A similar thing happened in the first half, and Forest were also awarded with a drop ball. Now, I don't think it was such a big deal at the time. It's the logical thing to do where you give the player that was fouled and his team the ball to restart the game. So the noise coming from social media for me is a bit wild. And then secondly, and more importantly, the goal happened 2 minutes later. A lot of passes, a lot of moments of play happened during that time. But apparently fans are saying that Forest were robbed and Liverpool cheated them from gaining a point in the game. That's ironic coming from Forest fans. Let me remind you, your club are currently under investigation for breaching FFP rules and cheating the system. So maybe keep your opinions to yourselves before you start accusing clubs of cheating. And one last thing, Klopp and the referee Portini have never got along. They've always had issues on and off the pitch. So it's not like he was doing us any favours. And I can categorically say he's arguably one of the worst referees in the league and has been for a while. So in terms of this sort of decision, it doesn't surprise me. So I don't feel like Liverpool are getting highlighted in terms of that we cheated Forest from getting a point. It's not our decision. The referee made the call. Let them explain why they made that call. And it's not for us to do. But in terms of the game, not the best spectacle. So I won't talk too much about the performance. However, the win could prove to be monumental and the turning point of the season. Now, call me sentimental, but I do feel like we may look back at the end of the season and say this was the win that helped Liverpool win the Premier League title. Wishful thinking at the moment, I know. So back to reality and some good news for Liverpool fans, as we've got some players returning to the first team, the likes of Endo, Szoboszlai and Darwin Nunez. All three players should be in contention to play in the next Premier League fixture, which is against Man City this Sunday at Anfield. A huge game, which goes without saying, and I truly believe it's a title decider. The winner of the match will have a huge confidence boost and also have the psychological advantage on City and Arsenal. Now, on to the next fixture we can talk about is Man City versus Manchester United, which ended 3-1. Now, I said this in my previous show, Man City are going to slaughter Manchester United in this fixture, and it's exactly how it panned out. The result may not suggest that, but if you watch the game, that's exactly how it ended up going. Manchester United took the lead from a Rashford worldy finish, but that's where it stops from there. City were playing some fantastic football, and it was only a matter of time before they broke the deadlock. City had a lot of chances, and Haaland missed an absolute sitter just before half-time. Probably one of the worst misses of the season, if I have to be honest. But there was one player who really stepped up in the spotlight, and that was Phil Foden. A lot of question marks surrounding his pedigree as a top player. I think this season, he solidified it, if you had any doubts from before. In a game where you had Kevin De Bruyne, Haaland, Bernardo Silva, who weren't at their best during the game, he took the game by the scruff of the neck and made it his own. The second half was pretty much the Phil Foden show. In the 56th minute, this is where he opened his goals, scoring form into the game, cuts inside and smashes the ball into the corner from the outside of the box. And what a finish it was. The second goal was scored on the left side, and Foden finishes clinically in the bottom corner. After that, the United team were pretty deflated, and it was game over in their minds as they never showed real fight to get back into the game. And from looking at far, it felt like a mountain was too high for them in terms of climbing from getting anything from the game. But Haaland hits the final nail in the coffin as Amrabat loses the ball. Rodri slides it through to Haaland, one-on-one the keeper. You know the end of that story. He hits the back of the net with complete ease. Great win for City against their rivals. Manchester is blue and will be for a long time, unfortunately, for United fans. Speaking of United, they were pretty abysmal in this game. They showed no fight in the game whatsoever. The only player who, for me, performed well was Maynard, and that tells you something when an 18-year-old is outshining the senior players who some would regard as top quality players. Not for me, but hey, we move on to the next fixture, which is Sheffield United versus Arsenal. Arsenal with another big scoreline victory as they were rampant against Sheffield United. Odegaard opens the scoreline, scoring from close range. Great cutback pass by Declan Rice. An own goal from Bogle makes it 2-0 for the Gunners. Good run from Saka in the lead-up play. Martinelli then makes it 3-0 with a left-footed finish. And it sounds like a lot has happened during the game. This was all done less than 15 minutes into the first half. Havertz then makes it 4-0 with a great left-footed strike from inside the box. Declan Rice gets involved in the fun and then makes it 5-0 with a neat finish. And that's half-time. They're up 5-0. And then Ben White then makes it 6-0 towards the end with a left-footed strike. Well done to Arsenal, who are still in third position, but only 2 points away from top spot. Sheffield United, let's not beat around the bush. A shambolic performance from the Blades. And unfortunately, the writing is on the wall. They will be playing Championship football next season, as there's no real quality in this team. Unfortunately, they're getting battered left, right and centre by all the teams in the league. So it's a shame, but that is reality, unfortunately. Next fixture. Tottenham versus Crystal Palace. A great win for Spurs as they continue to mount their challenge for top four. But it wasn't plain sailing for the North London side. They had a couple of chances to open the scoreline with Werner making an amazing run from the halfway line. Goes through on goal. Couldn't apply the dinky finish to score his first goal for the club. Then Heung-Min Son hits the post from close range. So it was Crystal Palace who stepped up and broke the deadlock. Eze hits a lovely free kick from the edge of the box with pure finesse. Great finish from the midfielder. But Timo Werner equalizes for Spurs and finally breaks his deadlock to score his first goal for Spurs. Great persistence from Brendan Johnson on the right-hand side to fight and claim the ball off Anderson. He skips past him and then hits a low cross towards the six-yard box and finds the German striker who scores from close range. Now, Brendan Johnson probably deserves some flowers for his recent performances. He might not be everyone's cup of tea, but he showed he works hard on the pitch, never gives up, and has end product to his game. Palace were caught sleeping moments later as Spurs hit a quick throw from Emerson Royal towards Madison. He lofts the ball into the six-yard box and Romero scores with a header to make it 2-1. Spurs then go on and score the third goal through a counter-attack. Heung-Min Son drives with the ball and converts clinically into the bottom corner. Big win for Spurs, who still remain in fifth place, only 5 points away from Villa. And speaking of Villa, they were victorious in their game as they narrowly defeated Luton Town at Kenilworth Road, but a huge win. And they keep increasing the gap from their rivals in order to maintain fourth spot. The opening goal came from a corner kick and a great header from Watkins to break the deadlock. He's been in unbelievable form this season, and it doesn't stop there as he also scores Villa's second goal. Lovely dinked pass by Douglas Luiz. Watkins is through on goal, one-on-one with the keeper. He smashes a low shot off the post to make it 2-0. And that's his 16th Premier League goal of the season. What a great achievement for him. But Luton Town shows some fighting spirit, to be fair. Chong makes it 2-1, scoring a scruffy goal from close range. Morris then slots the ball from a free kick in style. It's 2-2. And fans are thinking that might be the final outcome of the game. Not quite. Around the 88th minute, Diaby hits a fantastic cross from the right side towards the near post. Luka Dean runs into the box and makes the right contact to hit the back of the net. Big moment for the player who's just come off the bench to clinch the winner. Now, the gap is 5 points from the nearest rival, which I just mentioned is Spurs. But Villa have put themselves in a great position to qualify for next year's Champions League, which is such a it would be such a great achievement if they are to go on and achieve it. Now, in terms of other fixtures, Brentford versus Chelsea, which ended 2-2. Chelsea just about walked away with a point from their West London neighbours as the game ended in a draw. Action Jackson had a glorious chance to open the scoreline as he goes around the keeper, but forgot to add any venom into his shot as it was eventually cleared off the line. But then he bounced back and hit the back of the net with a header to silence the crowd as he tells them to shush. Brentford then equalised through Roslev. Di Sassi should have done better to make the clearance, in my opinion. But then Brentford take the lead through an amazing goal from Wissa. What a great bicycle kick from him. And for me, my goal of the week. Di Sassi then gets the equalising goal for the Blues. Chelsea remain in 11th position. Brentford move up to 15th. Next fixture, Everton versus West Ham, which ended 3-1 to West Ham. This game ended up being in a dramatic fashion towards the later stages of the game. Everton are awarded a penalty after Zuma handballs it in the box. Beto steps up, but Areola produces a fantastic low save to parry the ball away. But then Beto eventually hits the back of the net with a header. What a lovely cross from Garner. Nice swerve in the cross with the assist. And then moments later, they probably should have made it 2-0 from McNeil, who had a shot from point blank. But Areola makes an unbelievable save to deny Everton. Zuma then equalises for West Ham with a great header from a corner. But then the goal of the game came from Suchek, who smashes the ball with the outside foot into the top bins. What a finish. And he certainly enjoyed it with his celebration. But that wasn't the end of it. West Ham were on the counter-attack. Bowen threads the ball towards Alvarez, who dinks it himself and hits the back of the net. And that's back-to-back wins for the Hammers, who now move up to 7th position. Everton drop to 16th with 25 points. Next fixture, Fulham versus Brighton. And speaking of back-to-back wins, it was the same story at Craven Cottage. Harry Wilson opens the scoreline with a lovely curled finish into the corner. Fulham then make it 2-0. Great cross from Wilson into the six-yard box. And it was Muniz who scored from close range. A great instinctive header from the striker. That's his fifth goal in five games. Great stat for the young striker there. Adama Traore then makes it 3-0 as he calmly slots the ball into the corner. A good win for Fulham. And to be honest, they made it easy against a strong Brighton team. Next fixture, Newcastle versus Wolves, which ended 3-0 to Newcastle. The Toonami finally get the home win against a Wolves team that have been in good form in recent weeks. Isak opens the score sheet for Newcastle with a close-range header. Gordon then makes it 2-0 as Jose Sarr makes a complete hash of his diving save that gave the ball away towards Gordon. And then Livramento scores his first goal for Newcastle as he drives with the ball into the box, wiggles his way through a couple of players and toe pass it into the goal. Not a bad way to open your goal scoring account. And then the final fixture, Bournemouth versus Burnley, which ended 2-0 to Bournemouth. An important win for the Cherries against a team who are fighting for Premier League survival. Justin Kluivert opened the scoreline as he smashed the ball with power into the goal. Semenyo then makes it 2-0 with a lovely left footed strike into the goal. Bournemouth have moved up to 13th in the league, which is a good achievement so far in the season. A lot of us expected them to be in the relegation zone. Burnley, however, remain in 19th position on the same points as Sheffield United, who are currently 20th. So it's safe to say Burnley are destined to get relegated, just like Sheffield United, to the Championship as well. Now, that's my review of Match Week 27. What I'll do now is I will reveal our FPL Manager of the Week, and that goes to Abbas Karani, and his team name is Abbas. Kept it pretty simple there, and he managed to gain 118 points, and he's moved up to 67th in the league. So, well done to Abbas. Great tally for your week there. I saw your team and your bench boost certainly ended up being a smart move in order to rack up the points there. In terms of my performance, I thought I had a decent week until I saw Abbas's point tally. I got 75 points and I've moved up to 47th in the league, slowly climbing up the league. 11 games to go. So let's see what kind of damage or impact I can make in the coming weeks. What I'll do now is I will share the league table of the top 10 and let's see if there's any movers and shakers. So let's begin with at the top. So we've got a new leader and it's Jordan Smith. And his team is called Not Sure. He's managed to pip Ali Askar, whose team name is Ali Piero FC, who's been at top for a while. So a new league leader at the moment. Vipin Mahan stays in third. Then you've got Joseph Harrelson and Sebastian Tunic moving up to fourth and fifth. You've got Anas of FPL Docker dropping to sixth. Nana Sare dropping to seventh. And then you've got Tayo Aziz, George Bissett, and Lebanese Saka remaining in 8th, 9th, and 10th, respectively. So that's the top 10. So even this stage of the season, we're still getting new names in the top 10. And we've got a new leader of the league as well. So interesting viewing for us there. And that concludes the show for today, guys. So thank you to everyone for tuning in. If you haven't already, please don't forget to like, comment, share, and subscribe to the channel. The next Premier League review show will be taking place next Tuesday at 10 p.m. UK time as I cover Match Week 28. But in terms of upcoming shows on the channel for this week, we've got the match preview of Sparta Praha versus Liverpool in the Europa League tomorrow. And then Thursday, I'll be doing a match reaction of the game. And on the same night, we'll be previewing the big heavyweight battle. I'm not talking about Anthony Joshua versus Francis Ngannou. I'm talking about Liverpool versus Man City this Sunday. Huge game. And for me, as I mentioned earlier, it could be a title decider. I will be joined by a guest on the show as well. So one to look out for. So as always, guys, take care, stay safe, and I hope to see you all very, very soon. Goodbye.